Nice long break. I mean, you know, it's a music night anyway, so why not? And a little Harlem Nocturne. I love to hear Mark play mellow. Chris Bode's guitarist, by the way. for those of you who might be interested. Oh, my goodness. Welcome back to the second hour of Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Jeff Bennett here. Back at the mic, had a lengthy conversation with my friend Bonnie, to some of you known as Betty Boop. It's like little by little we've got some things working the way they're supposed to be. Needs to be that way sometimes. Unusual program for many reasons today. The chocolate sauce on the top offends me. I like caramel. Okay. Somebody wants to know if they closed the U.S. borders. No, it's the French borders. Oops, let's spell this right. You know, it's difficult because my brain works faster than my fingers. Maybe it's the fingers working faster than the brain. You ever do that? I reverse letters, I capitalize stuff that shouldn't be. What's this one say? This is a note to my sister. Okay. Oh, my goodness. It's Friday. God, we've got disorder at the top. Disorder at the top, disorder at the bottom. It's disorder all the way around. Issues that we tend to cover on this program. Now, we talked to you a few minutes ago about a black group who's demanding that we basically change the Constitution predominantly to aid blacks, radical blacks, etc. And then, if that's not going to work, then they want the right to start shooting white people. Good God. You better lock and load, people. Now we've got a pro-amnesty group demanding that the U.S. adopt a Bill of Rights for illegal aliens, illegal invaders. I mean, listen to this. As far as I'm concerned, illegals have one right under the law, and that's to be deported. So this court ruling we spoke of earlier this week on Obama's illegal amnesty is in the injunction to halt his illegal amnesty stands. And yet Obama's law dogs will continue to pursue lawlessness as they intend to follow the chain to the Supreme Court, the black-robed nine who will overturn the circuit court's decision, as it is the majority in their chamber that rule the United States. More or less. In the meantime, illegal alien invaders, through the pro-amnesty United We Stand nonprofit, created a Bill of Rights for undocumented Americans. They demand the entire nation adopt into the law of the land. This Bill of Rights for undocumented Americans consists of 10 demands that these illegal alien invaders expect all citizens to read and capitulate to them. Their Bill of Rights revolves around the presumptive claim that all are human beings entitled to citizenship. Marciliano Jose writes, "Since Congress refuses to ask, it's time we took matters into our own hands. Our undocumented Americans' Bill of Rights is a good start instead of making impregnable border security the beginning and end of all immigration discussions. Let's find a roadmap forward." Well, first of all, Señor Jose, get a copy of the Constitution of the United States of America. Read it thoroughly. You will find that we, the people, meaning the citizens of this nation, vest legislative authority in a Congress consisting of the House of Representatives and a Senate to establish laws based on the enumerated powers detailed in Article 1, Section 8, which includes uniform rules of naturalization. When Congress refuses to enact laws we like or change existing laws to suit our ideas, the Constitution does not authorize citizens to take matters into their own hands. That, Señor, is lawlessness at its pinnacle. Of course, many illegal alien invaders come from nations run by corrupt criminal governments, which lawlessness and acting on one's own is quite acceptable. God. Shelleyburg Trio, Estate. So, Obama continues to play the game oh so well. He goes on television, condemns the series of deadly attacks across Paris as an attack on all of humanity, and pledged to work with France to bring those responsible to justice. Oh, I don't think so, Barack. You know damn well who the guilty parties are. Because you're one of them. Nice tunes, Shelleyburg. Look, Glenn Ferris. I don't speak French, so I can't even attempt to pronounce this title. I can try it, but I'll butcher it. Femmes, je vous en. If you don't speak it, you won't know the difference. Thank you. what's wrong with the stinking French. I just received a breaking news, which I'll tell you right now, I've already determined is at least 12 minutes old. French authorities say Paris police have ended their operation to retake a concert hall where at least three gunmen were holding as many as 100 hostages. Shots have been heard inside the hall before police stormed the facility. Police reportedly have at least one suspect in custody. That's what's wrong with the French. They love to think they're lovers. Ought to pop the bastard and put him out of everybody's misery. And why do I say something like that? There is one so-called newscaster, if that's what you wish to call him, who I cannot stomach. Guy's name is Piers Morgan. Now, this is the limey that came over here, got a show on CNN, and purported to tell us how we should be running this country. Massively anti-gun, doesn't understand Second Amendment, doesn't understand one iota of the Constitution, our enumerated rights, but every once in a while, the guy comes up and says something smart. Now, you know that they took out Jihadi John last night, right? They got a drone, took him out, snuffed the guy. Jihadi John is like the poster child that was cutting off people's heads over there for ISIS. Piers Morgan says it's far better that Jihadi John got vaporized by a drone than given his gloating day in court. He's the ISIS lead singer, and now they've lost their deadliest voice. Yeah. The problem is the grieving families who had their relatives decapitated are upset because they didn't get to face the guy in court. He had his day in court. He was found guilty. He lost. Justice rendered by Judge Roy Bean, as it should be. That's the way I like it. Enjoy the music. We'll be back with you in a few moments. You know, one of the things that's bothered me more on the years of being on the air than other things is this flow of illegal immigrants, illegal invaders. Contrary to the U.S. federal government's official numbers, it's a hell of a lot more than 11 million. This is what, 2015? It was after the 2008 economic decline that allegedly just tons of them were leaving this country going back home because they could no longer make any money. What's the matter? All the palm trees fell down? Let's talk a moment about stopping the flow of illegals. If you stop the demand, the supply will dry up. All you got to do is make it so businesses can no longer hire illegals. Fine them, arrest them, make it worse for them to break the law. The illegal problem will fix itself. And this is something we've been talking about for years, and they don't get it because they don't enforce the law. It is illegal for employers to hire illegals, knowingly or otherwise. Fine them. If they get caught a third time, they lose their business license. They lose everything. Now, Trump leapt to the front of the Republican presidential field with his tough immigration stance. He promises to deport every illegal residing in the country in less than 2 years with the help of a deportation force. Of course, naturally, critics are warning of black-booted thugs, midnight raids. There's no need for either one. Our problems can be resolved through more modest and less inflammatory measures. Estimates from the Center for Migration Studies and the Pew Research Center show that of the 11 or 21 or 31 or 41 million illegals currently residing in Estados Unidos, approximately 2.5 million arrived after Obama's inauguration. Yet the overall number of illegals in this country has remained fairly static. That I do not believe. Oh, they've been coming and going in equal numbers. Why? Because that's what the government wants you to believe. Contrary to much political rhetoric, many illegals are not here to stay, and so are very sensitive to incentives. When the prospect of profitable work outweighs the risk of falling afoul of the law, they come. When it doesn't, they leave. As it happens, that's the key lesson of the Eisenhower-era program that Trump has cited as the inspiration for his own deportation plan. Operation Wetback was a ham-handed government response to a problem that government itself had created. Surprise, surprise. Through something called the Bracero Guest Worker Program. The prospects of decent farm work spurred hundreds of thousands of foreigners northward, many of those who could not gain authorization to work across the border in hope of finding work illegally. By the early 1950s, the program, which had begun in 1942, had fostered the largest illegal population in American history. Once the crackdown began, the majority of people who left did so of their own volition, preferring not to be swept up in the program's neighborhood dragnets. The problem now is, of course, is that they've been here for so damn long, and they've cranked out 2 kids, 4 kids, 6 kids, 8. Some of these families are raking in $6,400, $6,500 a month in freebies. And that doesn't count the tax structure that allows them to file all these earned income credits for children that either live here or don't. Oh, that's right, and all their tax returns and their refunds are going to some address of a 2-bedroom mobile home down in Georgia somewhere. And there's a few in Arizona and a couple of other states. There really is disorder at the top. And we're going to be talking about that during the final set of today's Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. But for now, let's go back to the music. I mean, why not? It's Friday. I promised you we'd be doing this. John Bunch, I Fly. But on other Friday nights, we'll choose other kinds of music. Some things somewhat more personalized. For tonight, I'm having a good time. Hope you are too. How's the wine? 2 ounces enough? you, I think I'm having way too much fun here tonight. Am I supposed to be having this much fun? I mean, I'm supposed to be working here. This is another form of working. Come on. 3 ounces, huh? Oh, my goodness. A few nights ago, a few days ago. No, I don't have a problem with that. I may go do 4 ounces. A few days ago, I received an email from Granny that took me back a long way. Took me back to 2004 when I had one of the most amazing writers I've ever known. Granny's trying to reach her, but I think she's deceased now. I remember the last time we had conversation with her, things were not going well for her. Brilliant woman who lived here in Arizona, who wrote from the heart, wrote from a vast knowledge base, both on local issues and national issues, occasionally on foreign issues, but not too often. I used to have a massive bank of her work on the old Federal Observer, which was closed down in 2009, I think. Which is a real surprise, it's been that many years. No, it didn't close down then. On January the 1st of 2009, we introduced the revamped Federal Observer, but the old archives, the old site still existed. And if people had links to articles, they could go there. And even some years after, it was not the main federalobserver.com. There were various columns in there that were still amongst the biggest draws in the nation, and in fact around the world. Some of those draws became the basis for my series of books, America, the Grand Illusion, which I began working on volume 3 the other night, as if I need anything else to work on. Dorothy Ann Cease. It's interesting to go back and read her work and realize just how far ahead of the curve she was. At that time, I think she was well into her 80s. Things we shared with you the other night in her column that have in fact come to pass since that particular piece was written in 04. Granny and I had a brief but nice conversation today. I'm sending her a copy of the discs from the November 4th program. Those of you who heard that program, I don't think you fully understand what that journey did for me in so many ways. Spiritually, mentally, physically, a lot of things. In January of 2005, Dorothy Ann wrote a very interesting column called Disorder at the Top, or Rotting from the Head. The reports are seemingly endless, she began, a long laundry list of defects in our obese government structure of subversives and panderers, crooks, delusional leaders, and biased media cohorts. Inadequate training in the military, an incomprehensible lack of coordination and supply for a war that should never have been. Stupid trips by even more stupid elected officials to places they should not be allowed, all at taxpayer expense. And to think the American Revolution was ignited over a tea tax. Dagny, good to see you. How are you? Of course, Boston Harbor couldn't hold the carcasses of the huge number of lunatic elected and appointed officials in American government today. Oh, no, they outnumber the tea by about 2,000 official persons to one case of tea. Now, don't hold us to an exact figure. We haven't had an official investigation at this point. But it's obvious that America has a bad case of rotten head infestation. And R.I., not to be confused with Rhode Island, seems to grow every time the government reorganizes anything or holds a new election. This government has pandered to its enemies and kicked its allies bought its lovers, given its defense information to those who have every intention of using it against the American people for a very, very long time. Too long is too long to keep quiet about it. And the people who whine are silenced by being single voices in the midst of a burgeoning and noisy media-controlling mic that never gives any response for the cries to get the U.S. out of stupid wars or out of the United Nations simply because the government officials have something to gain or something to lose if they suddenly turn honest. In the meantime, the people are so damned weak they keep voting the lesser of two evils, or as we've called it around here, the evil of two lessors. Which, no matter how you cut it, is still voting for evil. Rather than uniting in a strong protest that would bring about a general house cleaning of the structure we now have in this country. You know, the world might not like us more, but it would have reason to respect and fear a nation that would take its own government by the horns and shove them where the sun doesn't shine. Any nation that would do that with the liberty they still have would be a people with guts and grit, a force to be reckoned with. But what people who have the franchise refuse to do with their vote, they certainly aren't going to do with their guns. That's why they will lose those guns one of these days, just as they've lost control of the power of the people to keep the government as a public servant and not a cruel taskmaster. The structure to keep government in line is in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, that same Constitution that the radical black people want to turn upside down and have a whole new one written. The same Bill of Rights that the illegal invaders of this country want turned upside down so they can get their own personal Bill of Rights. But you see, the people, we the people, have allowed the government to take our power inch by inch until we now live in a delusion of something called freedom. And most fear to speak out. They won't have the guts to vote out the rotten heads and clean up the various departments of government, most of which are unconstitutional and, frankly, unnecessary anyway. No, government does not run like a well-oiled machine that keeps functioning as it was designed to do unless it is properly maintained. It means you've got to use the right color grease to grease the gears. And all of this means keeping not only a watchful eye for abuses, but taking direct and swift action against those abuses. Well, there should have been a popular revolt against the income tax when it was improperly declared and ratified amendment to the Constitution. There should have been an overwhelming protest against the creation of the Federal Reserve Board in 1913. There should have been. Includes a long list right down to the very day this is being shared with you and into the foreseeable future. As it becomes apparent that what should have been done each day along that road called time. The one thing to be remembered is this. The government of a federal republic cannot be derelict in its duty unless the people as a whole, the voting public, is derelict in theirs. The current situation is being cemented by importing aliens by the millions to dilute the older population of Americans who might see the direction the nation is headed and take action. The solution to that problem is to bring in those who could care less as long as they can feed off the fat of the land and exist at citizen taxpayer expense. Then they demand voting rights as non-citizens. But Jerry Brown has given them that right, so they vote anyway. Citizen or not. Because more idiots are at the helm of the various voter registration bureaus in each state's counties. Oh, you didn't hear that. Yes. Governor Moonbeam, ex-boyfriend of Linda Ronstadt, the current governor of California, signed the bill yesterday. Driver's licenses for illegal aliens, which now gives them the right to vote. People now ask what the hell to do about this mess. We're not done with the words of Dorothy Ann Cease. But a little bit of music. I mean, why not? That's what this is about tonight anyway, isn't it? Ihara Shiri, Pie-Eyed Blues. Be right back. Take it back. The frogs got more guts than we do. Two of the gunmen have been killed. One is in custody. Minimum of 40 people killed. Several coordinated attacks throughout the city of Paris. Death toll expected to climb. 100 people reportedly have been killed. Others injured, maimed. It's going to be interesting. France is now under a state of emergency. As far as I'm concerned, the United States of America should have been placed under a state of emergency on January the 20th, 2009. Continue with the words from Dorothy Ann Cease. Dorothy Ann says those who voted for either major party candidate in the last presidential election should not have the gall to ask, and those who voted third party did what they could legally, but if their pathetic numbers indicate the sum of thinking people in America, and the country has not only been infested with rotten head, but the whole fish stinks, and it's fast headed for the trash can. Sorry, it was a great swordfish, a beautiful specimen, but it got rotten head infestation and was lost. How interesting. The so-called federalized education system is doing its best to make sure that younger citizens never learn the truth about the founding fathers of America and what they were seeking to do. The present-day media is making certain that the general public listening to a few minutes of news has no idea what the hell is going on in this country because they never hear the truth. There is no longer any competition among the newspapers or radio stations because they've been gobbled up by a few cooperating corporations with the same agenda. Darkness has fallen over the land, and few know why. The people who protest seldom get a letter to a Congress critter read. They get a form letter reply thanking them for their input. And those same people seldom get a letter to the editor published at a major newspaper. They have no voice. No one wants to hear their complaints. This is the liberty for which our military personnel fight and die for so that we can spread it around the world. The world already has rotten head infestation in nearly every country one can name and a few none of us can pronounce. This is the work of the globalism that is controlling every aspect of our lives, right down to how much we should weigh and what we should eat and breathe and drive and read and hear and speak. And war is the ultimate failure of diplomacy. And we have failed because we are always at war. We use our military in the wrong places at the wrong times and for the wrong reasons. Oops, they're the right reasons. It's called corporatocracy. But the nation is geared up to declare immediate martial law against its own people while proclaiming it is liberating the slaves in other nations. That's the ultimate in hypocrisy and disorder at the top. If there ever was a time to call a national referendum, it is now, today. Why don't we have one? because a federal republic needs no national referendum, and the United States never was a democracy in spite of the misuse of the term everywhere. But if the government's going to call itself a democracy, then a national referendum makes consummate good sense. It is time to sound the call to arms to protest the loss of jobs, the treasonous actions of the leadership, the illegal conduct of foreign wars, not in the national interest, but in the interest of stockholders, corporate owners. What about the misuse of the military, the intrusion into the private lives of citizens, the threats to disarm the population, the unconstitutional buildup of a massive federal government? It would seem that the forced downsizing of the federal government and its illegal conduct would greatly reduce the illegal income tax burden, save Social Security, as well as liberating our own slaves. Or is this no longer the home of the brave? Dorothy Ann Cease, January 29th, 2005. A little music from, come on, roll it over so I can see who it is. The Ron Ashe Ensemble. Michelle. I hate that name. I really do. Michelle, ma belle. Michelle, Michelle. Enjoy. The tunes are great. Enjoyable tunes. Why not? It's Friday night. It's what I hope to be doing more and more of. Jerry Beauchamp. God Bless the Child. Piece made unbelievably great by Billie Holiday. As well, John Galt, glad to have you here. Looks like a coordinated attack. The death toll just jumped up to 140. Interesting. Seth Meyers, one of the late night talk show hosts who I don't watch, sorry, they're not Johnny Carson, tells us that Hillary Clinton this week has begun telling the story of her attempt to join the Marines in 1975. Let me tell you something, folks. The closest she ever came to the Marines was buying a pantsuit at Old Navy. Boy, she must have bought those in the large folks section, huh? Let's bail out of here with some Dave Brubeck, huh? Gotta have some. Let's see what Brubeck can give us. Probably something a little upbeat. I'm for it. How about you? And if we don't get back together again, it's been an enjoyable program. We may have time. Nah, this is going to take us to the end. Rightfully so. Good mellow piece. Dave Brubeck, the best there ever was. We'll wind down out of here. Enjoy it. Thanks for sharing your valuable time with me tonight. It's been kind of fun. want to do some more of these. I got to go pour my 4 ounces. Well, apparently we're not done yet. Some things have happened. I've been asked if we could run an extra 10 minutes. That could be interesting. I have absolutely zero prepared. Joe's running a bit late. He'll be up here for the next few hours doing some great rock and roll and all that good stuff. Whatever it is Joe feels like getting into, he'll get into. I enjoy doing these music programs. It's been some years since I've been able to do them. I'm just so pumped about having a studio up and working again where I can put out some quality sounds, get some quality recordings. If we ever decide we need to rerun any of these, I can go ahead and send the originals up to Bonnie. She can run with them, and we don't have to have copies of copies. And she'll probably actually get better quality than what the network ran the first time around. Nothing against the network. It's just the reality of the reality. Coming up next week, well, I'm sure we're going to have more of the same. Certainly going to be more on health. May start doing a couple of health shows a week. It just, those programs are very intense to put together. Extremely intense to put together. And it's not that I squawk about it, but I have other things going on here that I need to work on. But you know what? I'm feeling pretty good. For those of you who know me well and have known me for any number of years, I'm feeling pretty mellow right now. I'm liking that. It's okay. It's good. I like to be mellow. And I don't need to get mellow by taking questionable substances. That's just something that's never really been into my thing. But, you know, everybody's got their thing. Well, I'm going to see what I can find here. I don't know what's in this computer, Dag. I got a lot of stuff in here, but not necessarily the same kind of stuff that I'm playing here tonight. I just don't have this particular computer loaded with a lot of music. I'm going to have to do that, though. I really am. There's a program I did back in 2010 called Casablanca. I bet very... Dagny, you might remember that program. Now, this is a lot of other strange stuff. Don't have a lot of jazz in here. Don't have a lot of music in here, period. A lot of programs. Not lots of music. Very limited as to how much I can play here. What do we got here? Oh, no, I'm not going to play the I Have a Dream outtake. I done got me a dream tonight. Wait a minute. Who was asking for rock and roll? John Galt? Let's cut the mustard here. Let's just get it on. I got to do this. I've got to do this. And it ain't jazz, baby. You ready? My song from Vietnam. This'll take our time up, Bonnie. Tell Daddy he may have to wait. This sucker runs 17 minutes with the greatest drum solo ever recorded. I just got the word we're out of time. We'll see you on Monday. Stick around. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.